Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for this press call on the latest coronavirus negotiations and America's healthcare needs during this pandemic. My name is Anne Schaup, and I'm the Communications Director at Protect Our Care. Today, I have the honor of being joined by two healthcare champions on Capitol Hill, Senator Mark Warner of Virginia and Congressman Colin Allred of Texas. America is facing a dual crisis with this coronavirus pandemic, economic and healthcare, and they must be addressed with these coronavirus relief bills. So far, the botched response from President Trump and his Republican allies has been woefully inadequate. 2 months ago, the House Democrats passed the HEROES Act, which provides a 14% increase in funds to support state Medicaid programs, $75 billion in funding for testing and contact tracing, coverage of coronavirus treatment without cost sharing, and the opening of a special enrollment period for the uninsured. Meanwhile, the package unveiled by Mitch McConnell this week lacks many of the necessary provisions, including vital healthcare provisions, to get our country on track and to protect Americans' health and safety. With millions of uninsured people facing the possibility of coronavirus and the devastating healthcare bills that could come from that, the American people need the security of health insurance to get all of the necessary care they need. For months, the Trump administration has refused to open the federal marketplace to allow people to purchase health insurance, ignoring calls from health insurers and from lawmakers who know this would help to slow the spread of the virus and save American lives. With millions in danger of losing their employee-sponsored coverage as a result of the pandemic, more and more Americans will be turning to Medicaid. In order to address the surge in Medicaid enrollment, the first COVID relief package included an increase in the FMAP. However, this increase is not enough to address state budget shortfalls. The HEROES Act includes further increases that McConnell's proposal does not. The bottom line is that any meaningful coronavirus package must further increase federal funds to support state Medicaid programs and include a special enrollment period for the federal marketplace. Talk about today. That's why I'm so thankful to have these healthcare champions in Congress. We're going to start off with Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, who was elected to the Senate in 2008 and, of course, was the governor of Virginia before that. Senator Warner is committed to providing access to quality, affordable care for all Americans. As governor of Virginia, Senator Warner dramatically turned around the Virginia's CHIP program. It's one of the most underperforming in the nation, breaking down barriers to enrollment and amping up community outreach to eventually enroll 98% of Virginia's eligible children. Senator Warner is a staunch defender of Medicaid. His legislation, along with Senator Doug Jones, States Achieve Medicaid Expansion, or the SAME Act, would allow states like Virginia that expanded Medicaid after 2014 to receive the same full federal matching funds as states that expanded earlier. Under this legislation, the states that have not expanded Medicaid would also be eligible for increased funds once they choose to expand the program. And Senator Warner was making this case on the Senate floor this week of why this legislation would be such a vital program to help states during the pandemic. Senator Warner, you want to take it away?
Well, thank you, Ann, and I want to thank all the folks at Protect Our Care for their ongoing efforts to keep this issue in front of the American people. And I'd like to thank my friend Congressman Allred for his willingness to join me and the great work that he's doing in Congress and in Texas. I guess I'd like to start with, you know, we get kind of overwhelmed with statistics at times, but in Virginia, in the last week alone, more than 8,000 Virginians filed for unemployment. And the truth is, a lot of those folks who are filing for unemployment are at the risk of losing their employer-sponsored health care from the ACA. And if they lose that health care, they will join the close to 27 million Americans who lost their employer-sponsored health care since the onslaught of the pandemic. And, you know, you think about that 27 million, and we knew we had already prior to that 30 million Americans who unfortunately still remained without coverage. And we're talking about, you know, virtually a sixth of our nation without health insurance. So one of the things that I think Congress needs to do is the discussion about the next COVID bill moves from the House, where where the congressman and others did a really good job in putting a framework, we've got to now pick up the mantle and not leave these literally tens of millions of Americans without healthcare coverage. Ann already made a couple of these comments, but let me reiterate them. I think we need to go ahead and make that increase in FMAP. I say that as a former governor. These are critically important funds, and they help a state who is dealing with state and with revenue shortfalls, as all of our states are. I absolutely believe we need to open up under ACA special enrollment period so those folks who didn't enroll before have a chance now to sign up. I think we have to deal with the COBRA reimbursement issue. A lot of folks have been able to maintain their healthcare coverage through COBRA, but in many states, COBRA costs are up to $1,700 a month. So we really need to make sure that we can, you know, help defer a little bit of those COBRA costs. I think one of the things that we knew from the ACA earlier was that there was a premium subsidy cliff. Again, the House took on part of this, but we need to make sure that there's more of a glide path rather than a cliff. And, you know, I think we also need to continue to make the case to all of our Americans that our hospitals are still open. One of the things could be so devastating is if, as we see the COVID numbers bump back up, if then people stop going to help the hospital for their traditional healthcare coverage, all we're doing is either further exacerbating the financial crisis that our healthcare system is confronting. And if people are putting off care, that is, again, continues to make our healthcare crisis harder. One of the things that was mentioned that I also want to indicate, and this is a piece of legislation that a group of us, but really Doug Jones and I, have been championing for some time, and that's what we call the SAME Act. A number of states, including mine in Virginia, were late to expand Medicaid. Other states, like Alabama, have not even gone ahead and expanded Medicaid, even though history has shown that when voters are asked, they get the logic that we ought to go ahead and cover the uninsured with Medicaid with this general federal contribution. Matter of fact, I think it was just Oklahoma who voted in favor of Medicaid expansion in the last couple of weeks. What the SAME Act would do is it take those, you know, close to 3 million Americans that didn't get covered with when their states didn't expand Medicaid, that if their states go ahead and expand Medicaid coverage, a la Alabama or Virginia that did it late, that we would not be penalized in terms of the federal reimbursement levels, that we would get the same level of federal reimbursement for the same time frame that those states who chose to act earlier. Doug Jones and I went to the floor of the Senate this week, asked unanimous consent to try to bring our bill up, let it get passed. Since clearly Americans who've had the chance to vote on this issue recently have voted overwhelmingly to expand Medicaid. Unfortunately, my Republican colleagues refused to go forward with that. I guess the final comment I'd make is just that, you know, we are in the midst of a pandemic. It is a healthcare pandemic. It is an economic pandemic, particularly as communities of color get disproportionately hit. We should not exacerbate both the healthcare nor the economic catastrophe by not doing all we can to protect the ACA, to reopen the enrollment period, to not make sure that states that didn't expand Medicaid have the right to expand Medicaid, and we do all the things that we need to do. There will come time when we can still make corrections and improvements on the ACA, but let's right now in the midst of the pandemic with you know, 60,000 plus Americans getting this virus each day, let's do our part in expanding and making this healthcare coverage kind of matching some of the good work that Congressman Allred did in the House bill. And I look forward to staying at this until we get it done. And with that, I'll turn it back over to our Protect Our Care folks.
Thank you so much, Senator. Now we're going to turn it over to Congressman Colin Allred, who is going to give us the perspective from the House. Congressman Allred was elected in 2018 to represent the 32nd District of Texas. Congressman Allred's top priorities in Congress are working to lower health care costs, protecting Medicare and Social Security, and creating an economy that works for everyone. From his very first day in office, Congressman Allred sealed his reputation as a healthcare champion in the House. He authored a resolution that authorized the House to intervene in the Texas lawsuit, the case which is now before the Supreme Court and is threatening to take healthcare away from 23 million Americans during a pandemic. In addition, Congressman Allred is helping lead a similar effort to what Senator Warner just described in the House. He's a co-sponsor of the companion bill to the same act, which is called the Incentivizing Medicaid Expansion Act. So, Congressman Allred?
Well, thank you so much. And I really want to thank Senator Warner for his leadership. I think the people of Virginia are extremely lucky to have a champion like him in the Senate who's working to protect their health care and to support our national health system during this pandemic. And I, of course, want to thank Protect Our Care for keeping the focus on health care, particularly with what's going on in Texas and across the country. You know, this week, our nation surpassed 150,000 deaths, an unspeakable tragedy for us as a nation. And though there is no way to predict the pandemic, we know that it did not have to be this way. And since the beginning of this crisis, I've said that we need to have a national strategy to ramp up testing, contact tracing, and treatment across the nation to mirror and model based on some of the things that have been done in other countries that have worked far better than what we've done here. And the need for this has been especially clear as right now as local school districts in Texas are wrestling with how to begin classes again this fall. And while this month we faced 18 straight days of more than 1,000 cases a day in Dallas County alone in Texas. And we have a long way to go to beat this virus. And in Congress, we have to support our health system in every way that we can during this crisis. I think the American people are looking to us to ensure that our healthcare system continues to function at a time when they need it most and we can provide them with the care that they need. And in Texas, we are facing a really, really severe situation as folks are losing their jobs and with it their employer-based health insurance. We know that a recent study in Texas found that 29% of Texans under the age of 65 are now without health insurance, as more than 650,000 Texans have lost their health insurance just during this pandemic. Now, there are some simple steps, thankfully, that we can take to try and staunch some of this pain. Beginning with opening a special enrollment period in the Affordable Care Act, something that we did in the HEROES Act, which, as the Senator mentioned, we passed back in May. It would help folks who didn't have insurance before the pandemic, and it would eliminate the paperwork and expedite coverage for many people seeking health care after they've lost their employer-based health insurance. So it helps folks both who were unemployed or who were uninsured and folks who have lost their insurance. Before this crisis even started, healthcare was far and away one of the top issues that I heard about from folks back in North Texas, and I've said many times, but this illustrates why this virus has caused so much damage. Texas has, coming into this, had the highest uninsured rate in the country, and due to the inaction of our state leaders on healthcare, namely their inability and refusal to expand Medicaid, Texas has extremely inequitable health coverage. In Texas, there's a disproportionate impact on our minority communities as well, and women, who overwhelmingly make up our essential workforce. And expanding Medicaid would help bring health care to well over a million Texans, with some estimates going even higher than that. And I, as has been mentioned, am a supporter and co-sponsor of a bill put forward by my fellow North Texan, Mark Vesey, that would incentivize states like Texas to expand Medicaid. And I really want to thank Senator Warner and Senator Jones for their work in leading this effort on the Senate side. And as has been mentioned in the HEROES Act, we did include a substantial increase in Medicaid assistance funds known as FMAP. And not only is this designed to help states with Medicaid costs, but it would provide states with really broad fiscal relief as they continue to face the economic fallout from this pandemic. It's going to have long-reaching consequences for all of us. And you know, President Trump recently visited Texas on the deadliest day Dallas has seen, and I was very disappointed that he did not address this healthcare crisis more directly or offer any solutions to help Texans. I will continue to urge this administration to drop their lawsuit against the ACA, seeking to repeal the entirety of the Affordable Care Act. This is the exact wrong time for us to be kicking millions of Americans off their health insurance. And it is just unacceptable during a pandemic that this administration is continuing with this lawsuit. And as it's been mentioned also, since my first day in Congress, I fought to protect the progress that we did make with the Affordable Care Act. And when I introduced a measure that passed with bipartisan support, authorizing the House to fight this cynical and partisan lawsuit. And you know, healthcare really, in my opinion, shouldn't be a partisan issue. North Texans are waiting for us to get things done, as are all Americans. But particularly now, they want us to come together and provide solutions and get over some of these long-running and really destructive battles that are doing nothing but hurting Texans and hurting Americans. You know, action is very long overdue now. The House acted way back in May, and I am willing to work with anyone that we can to get us moving forward. But the Senate needs to get in gear. There are important benefits that are running out. This virus is still expanding in our country, and we still have a lot of work to do. So thank you for having me, and happy to answer some questions as they come up.
Thank you, Congressman. Whitney, could you open it up to any questions from reporters?
Yeah. At this time, if there's questions for any of our speakers, please press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you have a question for any of our speakers, please press *3 to enter our queue. We'll give folks just a second here. All right, our first question is going to come from Zach Cohen at the National Journal. Zach, you are live.
Hi, thanks for doing this call. Appreciate it. Question for Senator Warner. Pick your brain based on your time as a governor. Part of Democrats' push in this next coronavirus relief package, should something pass next week, is for more state and local aid, which is something Republicans have objected to because they argue that many, if not all, states haven't spent all of the CARES Act state and local funding that has already been dispersed. What's your response to that particular argument?
Well, I think it's it's been a little bit of a bizarre argument. I mean, at first they said state and local governments can't use the money for revenue loss, which was kind of absurd since we gave airlines money for revenue loss and we gave small businesses money for revenue loss. Why we would preclude a local government that might rely on sales tax or a meals tax or a lodging tax, restrict their rights to make up those lost revenues, it was crazy. I think they have recognized, most of them have agreed to remove that prohibition. So that is a good sign. I also think you've seen in the, and when we say the Republican bill, I'm not sure there is actually a Republican bill. The last count I had was there are 8 separate proposals that I don't think even match up together, which to my mind shows that we basically wasted 2.5 weeks when we should have been negotiating with Mitch McConnell, trying to get his caucus on the same page, and they couldn't even agree to get on the same page. So when we're looking at Americans losing their expanded unemployment today, we could have reached a reconciliation on that. Instead, Mitch McConnell took 2.5 weeks wasting time on a bill that didn't even turn into a bill. I think there is some recognition from the Republicans that, you know, simply cutting off state and local government makes no sense. In a certain sense, the fact that they put forward $105 billion for schools is a bit of a proxy for state and local governments. But my feeling is, you know, let's not go through all this political flimflam. Let's go ahead and make sure we fund schools so that that when local conditions dictate, they can open. But let's not say we're going to give money to local schools and not give money to state and local governments. I think we've lost over 1 million state and local government jobs. The idea that we're going to suddenly start laying off, you know, EMTs, firefighters, police officers, because of some political point made within the Republican Senate caucus makes no sense to me at all.
Congressman, I know that question was for Senator Warner. Do you have anything you'd like to add on that about Texas?
Well, just that we're already seeing the layoffs at the local level in North Texas that are being caused by these revenue shortfalls, and you know the need is enormous, and it's just going to continue to increase. And you know, this is one of the things I have the hardest time understanding when you have pretty much unanimity among the governors and the mayors basically begging us to help them with these revenue shortfalls they're facing. And you know, only the United States Senate is the only entity at this point that hasn't understood how important this is. So, you know, I think that it's critical that we provide this support. We can't be cutting essential services during a pandemic. And Senator Warner's right. I think we're almost at 1.5 million layoffs in state and local government just during this pandemic. I mean, that's obviously a lot of jobs and also critical services that are being cut, and we can't allow that to continue.
Thank you. Whitney, do you want to remind people how to ask a question one more time?
Yep. Just as a reminder, if there's a question for any of our speakers, you can press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you have a question, just press *3 on your phone to enter our queue.
You know, it sounds to me like the congressman and I have made such a compelling case that, everybody's just going to write, Allred and Warner make compelling case that, healthcare dollars ought to be expanded.
Just doing everyone's job for them, writing those headlines. Well, it seems like we don't have any more questions today, so we'll let people get back to their Fridays. It's been a long week, but I just want to, again, thank Senator Warner and Congressman Allred for joining us today. And we will have an audio of this call shortly after. And definitely reach out if anyone has any follow-up questions. And we'll be tracking this as we can continue, unfortunately, this crisis is not going away. It's worsening. And so we're going to have to fight to get these vital provisions in the next relief bill, and I know that our two guests today will be doing just that. So thanks again, everybody.